and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Azad Engineering Q2 FY25 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the belief, opinion, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Nikita. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome all the participants for today's call. At the outset, I would like to thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host this call. From the management, today we have with us Mr. Rakesh Chopra, Chairman and CEO, Mr. Vishnu Malpani, Full-Time Director, and Mr. Ronak Jacob, Chief Financial Officer. We will have brief opening remarks from the management, post which we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A. Without much ado, I would hand over the call to Mr. Chopra to take this forward. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Good afternoon and season's greetings to everyone. Welcome and thanks for joining today on Q2 earnings calls. On this call, we are joined by our Mr. Vishnu Malpani, Full-Time Director, and our CFO, Mr. Ronak Jacob, and SGA team, our investor relations advisors. The results and presentations are uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website. I hope everybody had a chance to look at it. We have delivered a strong performance in this quarter with our revenues growing significantly to 111 crores, demonstrating robust growth on a year-on-year basis, showcasing a growth of 35%. Adjusted EBITDA for this quarter stands at 41 crores. Further, the PAT has grown from 9.5 crores in Q2 FY24 to 21 crores in Q2 FY25, showcasing a growth of 8%. We have come a long way in our journey from doing business of 100 crores per annum to 100 crores per quarter, demonstrating an exponential growth in the last few years. This progression is a result of our commitment to excellence and our persistence and dedication. We spent the initial few years concentrating on getting our products qualified and approved, and today, we are in this unprecedented growth phase. The growth momentum has just started, and we are confident that we will be able to capture a larger pie of our customers' wallet share by leveraging our capabilities to better serve our customers' needs with our new and existing facilities in place. Allow me to spend some minutes on the new orders that we have won during this quarter. We are honored to share that we have signed an MOU with Baker Hughes, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, in the presence of His Royal Highness Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman Al Saud, Minister of Energy and distinguished officials and committee members of Local Content Forum at Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. This arrangement, among other things, enables us to set up a facility to manufacture and supply precision components, sub-assemblies, assemblies to cater the requirements within the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In another remarkable achievement, we bagged an order win from Mitsubishi Heavy Industries Japan. This is an approximately rupees 700 crores order, which will be executed over 5 years. This win is a testament of Azad's grit and vision, as we are the only critical suppliers in India for airports. This demonstrates Mitsubishi's continuous confidence in us as an efficient strategic supplier and carry forward the long-outstanding partnership between them, which was started in the way back 2012. This order is a way for them to block our capacities in the dedicated upcoming manufacturing plant that we are building for them in our new upcoming facility, through foundation stone laid in the year 2022. Additionally, we secured a $16 million order from Honeywell to manufacture and supply complex components for the aerospace and defense requirements. Another critical contract is Siemens Energy to manufacture and supply complex rotating complex components for the energy sector for a tenure of 5 years. These wins not only demonstrate our strategic partnership we have built with the OEMs, but also reflect our growth journey. Way back, I recollect, I started Azad with just one machine, and today we have become a global leader in providing high-precision engineered components and solutions for the largest OEMs across energy, defense, oil and gas sectors. I am very happy to share that just now, Azad Engineering has received a signed supply agreement with Arable Solutions France, a French company, for the supply of critical and highly complex rotating stationary components to meet the global demand in the nuclear power generation industry. The value of the supply agreement for its term is valued approximately 40 million, that is INR 340 crores. This supply agreement had initiated a strategic collaboration with Arable Solutions France. With the above wins, our order book stands at 4,200 crores as on today, adding the 340 somewhere around 4,500. We are confident that it will continue to increase significantly as we have a strong pipeline of contracts with our key customers. To update you on our CAPEX plan for the new upcoming plant, the civil work is progressing as per the plan, in line with the order book and the deliveries. We have placed orders for the machines and other equipment. Everything is on track to start commissioning at our factory beginning Q1 of 2026. On the expansion front, as you all are aware, we are increasing our capacity to 10x. And as an update, we are well on track. And we will start generating revenues from a new plant from FY26. Further, we continue to provide a guidance of 25 to 30% for FY25 with improvement in our margins due to operating leverage, process efficiency, along with backward integration. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Vishnu Palpani, our whole-time director, to take this conversation further. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chopdar, and season's greetings to everyone. Good afternoon and welcome to our earnings call for Azad Engineering. Azad's story has always been about breaking new ground, and that journey continues. From being one of the first Indian companies to be able to manufacture complex and critical components such as 3D airfoils, to now building a plant with 10 times more capacity for these light and mission critical components, our progress is nothing short of being extraordinary. Today, we are a trusted partner to some of the world's biggest OEMs, whether it's the energy sector, aerospace and defense sector, or the oil and gas sector. Our commitment to innovation remains stronger than ever. We've worked very hard in our business to diversify, and it started to pay off. Our energy business, which contributed to about 78-79% of our revenue in the first half of FY25, continues to grow at a very healthy rate, with major orders from companies such as Mitsubishi, GE, and Siemens. We are on a path for increasing our wallet share in the segment from the current 1-1.5% to about 2-5%. Similarly, with Baker Hughes, we are strengthening our position in the oil and gas sector, with tremendous potential and opportunities of setting up a manufacturing plant outside of India as well. Our aerospace and defense business has more than doubled in the last year, now accounting for 16-17% of our revenue. Key orders from clients such as Rolls-Royce, GTRE, DRDO, Honeywell, among others, will drive further growth in this sector. And I think it's important to note that we are not just making life-critical and mission-critical components. We are also moving to full assembly. We are on our verge to be manufacturing an engine end-to-end for GTRE, moving up the value chain in manufacturing as well. But this is just the beginning. Our new facility will unlock even more growth, allowing us to serve our current customers better while opening doors to newer opportunities and markets. Through smart acquisitions that Mr. Chopdar mentioned of Leo Prime Corp and VTC Surface Technologies, we are building deeper capabilities and creating new avenues for growth. We are not here to settle for the status quo. our goal is very clear: to grow our addressable market from $28 billion to upwards of a much, much higher number, and to increase our wallet share from 1 to 5%. We are on a path to become something far greater than we are today. Together, we are building not just a company, we are building the future. I would like to now hand over to Mr. Ronit Jaju, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the key highlights on our financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Vishnu. Let me talk about our financial highlights for quarter 2 FY25. Revenue from operations came at around 111 crores in quarter 2 FY25. The blended average growth rate in H1 FY25 is 32.17% when we compare to H1 FY24. The blended average growth rate for quarter 2 FY25 is 34.5% compared to quarter 2 FY24. The blended average growth rate for quarter 2 FY25 is 13.21 compared to quarter 1 FY25. The other income mainly consists of interest income and foreign currency fluctuation during the H1 FY25. In H1 FY24, it was higher on account of sales of our two subsidiaries and land, which has resulted into 9.8 crores of other income during that period. EBITDA improved due to operating leverage and the process improvement and stand at 41 crores in quarter 2 FY25. The EBITDA margins has increased by 200 bps during the last quarter to this quarter. This improvement is largely driven by operating leverage in employee cost, tools expenses, and job work expenses. The finance cost mainly represents the interest toward the working capital and term loan in our books, as there are no CRML CCD, which was converted into the equity during the IPO process. The adjusted PBT for quarter 2 FY25 stood at 31.4 crores, and there is an improvement of 273 bps, which is in line with our EBITDA margin improvement as explained earlier. Profit after tax stood at 21 crores with 19% of healthy PAT margins. Our net debt position as on 30th September is 112 crores. Working capital is at peak in this particular quarter, and there will be taper down as major qualifications has been completed and we are able to indigenize the raw material with one of the mills as explained in the earlier call. Now I would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bala Murli Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So my first question is regarding the new facilities which we are building in Bolaram. So I think in FY26, by which quarter we can expect that to be on stream? And another facility we are planning in Sangareddy for RHP. So by when we can see that facility also come?
Your voice is not clear. Could you speak little loud?
Yeah, my question is regarding the new facilities which are coming on stream. So this Bolaram facility told in FY26, so in which quarter we can expect that to be on stream and by when we can expect the, to reach its optimum level. And second is on the Sangareddy new facility also. What is the plan for that one?
Yeah. So the first facility what we are building at Kinki Bolaram, that's going in a phase-wise manner because it's a very large facility, right? And we are setting up dedicated facilities for every customer. So what we are intending to do is we know the facility for GE Steam Power System is SPS, GE Vernova. That is the first facility which is going to come up. It will be ready in the calendar year of, in the calendar year 25, in the first quarter of by January, February, the facility should be done. And from March, that will be operational. And then similarly, every 2 to 3 months, we'll be having one facility by for Mitsubishi. And this is a progressive. It cannot be done all at a time, right? So do you understand what I'm trying to say, Mr. Balakrishnan?
Yes, regarding the Sangareddy facility?
That's so. We are going to finish this first and then take up that facility. So we are going phase-wise.
Okay.
So this will be a continuous process. So first, it will come for steam power system, then it will come for Mitsubishi, then, you know, all the customers are lined up. I can't name them because we have not disclosed yet. But every customer has their own facility in our whole factory. So it's a factory within the factories.
Okay. And so regarding the
end of that, you can expect from FY26 the incremental value, incremental sales will be added up from the new facility. In a nutshell, if I want to answer it.
Yeah, understood. And regarding this order wins, so in the since we are listed, so we have been a lot of orders account, we know that value. So when we can, so I mean, almost are 5 years to 7 years origin. So from the FY26 onwards, we can expect execution of all these orders?
Yes, that's the plan. That's the plan, Mr. Balakrishna. So FY26 onwards, you will see an incremental revenue coming up from the new facility which we are adding. As the capacity what we are building is 10x size. It's what existing it is.
So then we can expect a good jump in the numbers from the FY26 as compared to the existing guidance.
Yes, it is interesting. Hopefully everything goes well as we have planned. And till now, whatever planned, everything was on track.
Okay. And lastly, on this Baker Hughes agreement, so you are going to set up a plant in the Saudi Arabia, right?
Yes. We already signed the MOU. We are now planning to set up a shop in Saudi Arabia.
So, my concern is that in Gulf or Saudi Arabia, so the cost of production would be much higher as compared to India. So, can impact margins slightly?
No, nothing. Nothing is going to happen. This requirement is basically for Saudi Arabia in Saudi Arabia, right? And the pricing structure is not as India structure, correct? So what we see is the technology, everything is ours, right? So we have our own way of manufacturing. It doesn't matter if it's in Saudi Arabia, or it's in India, or it's in US or Europe. For us, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And lastly, one small question, sir. So in order wins, no? So in few orders, we are not getting the value of order. We can't disclose.
What we can disclose, we are disclosing. We just now uploaded on our... We got a contract from Arabel, a French company. We got a large contract of 340 crores for new theater.
Okay, that's okay. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, Rakesh. Wonderful set of numbers. An excellent order wins in last quarter and even today's order. Just one question on this. So we are now seeing we have won the contract with Arabel Solution, which is for nuclear power. So are we exploring any domestic opportunities in the same sector and the area?
Okay. Hello, Jeevan. Nice to talk to you. This contract, Arable Solution, it's a company for EDF. I hope you have heard about EDF. You know, that it's a part of EDF. It's a French government company. And EDF and Arable controls the major nuclear power across the world. So it's a pride moment for us to have this contract for nuclear power. It's very, very stringent. And to getting approvals from EDF is very, very stringent. Right, so this is where we stand for, and this is just the beginning of this large contract, and I can tell you the boom which is coming up in the power generation is quite crazy. Coming to the second question of yours on the domestic, we have only BACL, and what you will come to know very soon because we are in talks with the very senior management of BACL. There are many parts which BACL still imports, right? So we got into collaboration with them, what Azad is manufacturing, exporting, and what, you know, there are some components which BHL is importing. So So we had a discussion with them, and you know, we hopefully we could crack something which is coming up big from BHL as well. So equally, you're right. There is a good requirement from BHL as well.
Okay. And secondly, on the Saudi, so we are going to set up a manufacturing facility in Saudi. So any color on that, how big it would be, what will be the investment, and what could be the potential?
I can't give you much details, given, but I can tell you one thing. I can give you an idea of flavor that this requirement is nothing to do with what with the existing business that we are doing with
okay.
So this is for the kingdom within the kingdom. Right,
okay.
And the, they do not have many manufacturing facilities. I mean, it's not just, see, what Azad plays a role. Azad plays a role where it's not just technology where you can buy, if you have money, you buy technology and you start, you know, producing parts. It's not that. We value add. We value add in the process engineering and all. So that skill set what Azad has got, it's very rare. So this is where Baker Hughes selected us to set up a facility where we can provide solutions to them. So whatever business will come in, it is for Saudi, within the Saudi. So this is quite large numbers. I can't disclose any numbers right now, but it's quite significant.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks a lot, Rakesh. Thanks a lot.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kamlesh Jain from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a strong set of numbers and very strong commentary, sir. Well,
Thank you, Mr. Kamlesh.
Yeah. So just one question on the part that,
Mr. Kamlesh, can you be a bit louder, please?
Yeah, sir. So just one question on the part that we have a very ambitious target of around 10x capacity growth. So, what would be our capex spread over the next, like, say, 3, 4, or 5 years?
CapEx, again, depends on the business cases, right? As Vishnu mentioned, like we are going in component manufacturing. That is, of course, that is on track. Then we are going in assemblies. We are going in sub-assemblies. So every business case has its own business case of investments. So it's a very detailed discussion, and you're most welcome to visit Azad so that we can showcase you all these things, what exactly we're talking about. It's very difficult to justify one particular investment on one particular customer. So it's very diversified, right? Azad is playing multiple roles in multiple verticals. So every vertical has its own set of investments. So it's a very well planned. It's very well planned, very detailed plan.
No, you have a guidance of roughly around 200 crore capex in this particular year. So going forward, like over next 3-4 years, like say how the capex would be there? Because you have stated your...
That's what I was trying to say, Mr. Kamlesh. We are going phase-wise, right? As Mr. Balkrishna also has the same question. All the capex is not going to get consumed once. Phase-wise, like it's not small facility what we are doing. It's 10x, right? And every customer has this large contract. Like Mr. Ish has given 800 crores order. So we are investing ahead of the curve to balance their requirements. Same thing, we signed a big contract with Arable. This is for, again, large contracts. So these contracts are coming because we are building a capacity. So hard part was done already back, long back. And that's how what Vishnu was mentioning, we are increasing the wallet share within the customers from 1 to 3 to 5 to 10%. You know, that's the reason this is a very well laid out 10x capacity. There's a plan behind this 10x capacity. So I request your presence in Azad, then we can discuss more in detail. I can share you all the things. Because it's not just one customer, I could have given you one number.
Okay. And on the debt side, like say our net debt in this quarter has risen to roughly around 127 crore. And I do appreciate that you had a capex of roughly around 127 crore in this quarter.
Yeah.
And like say going forward as we expand and increase our capex, so what is the debt levels or net debt to EBITDA we would be comfortable with?
Yeah, Mr. Kamlesh, Ramas here. So
yeah.
Our net debt to EBITDA guidelines will be around 1.2 to 1.3. We always maintain that particular ratio, and we are on that track.
Okay. So that would remain in that particular range.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Bhartiya from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. So my first question is on some of the new large contracts that you've got from companies like Mitsubishi and Honeywell. Now, these have been our existing large customers, and we've already been executing orders for them. So just want to understand, these new orders should be seen as something which is completely incremental to what we were already doing, or part of the existing business gets consummated in the new order wins that we are speaking about, especially for Mitsubishi, given that that's a fairly large order.
Yeah, it's purely incremental of the wallet share increment, Aditya. It's existing business. What we are doing with every customer is we have limited capacity, right? This is the revenue what we are doing at the moment. Then we are going into 10x. So there is a plan behind 10x. Why we are going 10x is because we know that these orders are on its way. And as we are showing capacity, we are showing progress, they are releasing the purchase orders. So this is an incremental which will be continuing. Like Vishnu mentioned, 1 to 3 to 5 to 10% wallet share, increment of wallet share from every customer. This is a classic example how the wallet share is increasing.
Understood. Perfect. And one should is
we just now uploaded one more for arable solutions, Aditya, for nuclear power.
Right. The EDF one. Correct.
And
we should be assuming slower and gradual kind of a ramp up as capacity keeps becoming operational. And fair to assume that revenues that we'll be getting from some of these new contracts 2 years down the line will be higher than first year, third year will be higher than second year. Is that how we should be building that in?
Yep. So, Aditya, hi, Vishnu here. And thanks for your question. So, just adding to, the first question that you'd asked. So, if you look at, the way a Japanese stand generally works is, they work on purchase orders and then, that needs to be executed. But since a new capacity is coming up, it's every OEM isn't, making efforts to sort of book our capacity for the next 4 or 5 years so that, there is a clear clarity on how the ramp up is going to happen in terms of wallet share. So, all the contracts that you see with our customers, with our existing customers and existing product lines are, towards increasing our wallet share. So, so that is how we are looking at it. And secondly, see, today we are constrained by capacity, right? So, when you see our ramp up, you would see, so, you should look at customers that we have been talking to that we are in production mode. So those customers will constantly keep ramping up at a faster rate. The customers that are currently in developmental phase or qualification phase will slowly ramp up, as is the nature of the industry, because these are mission and life critical components. Right?
Interesting. Yeah. But Vishnu, given that the Mitsubishi order that we spoke about is 700 crores for, over a five-year period, on an average, it kind of works out to be 140 crores per year. Let's say we build in a ramp-up over there. By third year, we'll be having 150, 170 crore rupees of possibly revenues coming from this order. That is a fairly substantial part of incremental growth that then we are speaking about. Right? And we are speaking about not one such order, but multiple such orders. Then should we think about growth possibly being faster than what we've been speaking until now? Is it a possibility that with so much capacity coming on stream and with the kind of order wins that we have had, instead of 25 to 30% growth, we can be at a faster growth trajectory?
Definitely, Aditya. I think that's the most logical, response to this question. But then, for the market, we're still guiding 25 to 30%, but internally, we're obviously chasing higher numbers, as you would know, because these contracts, like you rightly said, come in with specific delivery schedules and specific timelines. So we are ramping up quickly, right? So if you look at our addition in our capacity, it's not 25-30%, it's higher than 25-30% per annum. So we are obviously internally targeting higher numbers, but guiding the market at 25-30%. That's how I would like to answer it.
Absolutely. And even for FY25, this 25 to 30% guidance looks to be on the conservative side, unless it is a scenario that we are facing a big capacity constraints until the time new capacity comes on stream, it's difficult to further expand. Because we are now already doing 100 odd crores per quarter, even if we assume, let's say, 3-4% sequential growth every quarter for the next two quarters, we are speaking about hitting the upper end of the guidance. And historically, we have done a sharper sequential growth than that. So is it that just we are just being conservative, or are we facing capacity constraints at this stage?
First point is there is definitely capacity constraint, right? So in the current facilities that we are going to be busting our capacity very, very soon. And that's why you see our endeavor or, you know, our attempt is to start productionizing the new facility as soon as possible. So today, while the 25-30% guidance has been, like you said, we've hit 100 crore revenue per quarter. So we are looking at delivering at the upper end of the guidance for sure, trying to manage our capacity internally. But since the new plant comes up, I think, you know, the growth can be much higher. So there is definitely capacity constraint for the current year, but we are still managing with the 25-30%, and we should be at the upper end of the guidance only.
Sure. And just last question from my side. There's obviously this capacity expansion that we are undertaking. There's the capacity that we have to set up in Saudi Arabia. Any breakup of CAPEX that you can provide at this stage about how we should be thinking about CAPEX numbers for next 2 or 3 years and how much CAPEX we would have already incurred in FY25 in respect of the new capacity that will be coming on stream?
So, Aditya, you know, for this conversation, I'd like to take you back to, say, a couple of years behind where we were at, say, 100 crore per annum. Right, so we built capacity of 4x, and today, you know, we've reached a point where we've reached 100 crores per quarter. Right, so we do have a plan of ramping up, you know, in a pragmatic way until FY27-28, and we internally have also started planning our business beyond FY27-28 onwards to, you know, much higher numbers as well. So the capacity planning, the CAPEX planning is underway, and I think, you know, today we do know the capacity addition that we need to do till FY27-28. We are working towards going from FY27-28 to, say, FY32. So we are in the process of doing the math around the CAPEX deployment, but in all likelihood, you understand the asset terms that we have in our business. You understand, you know, the kind of potential that we're looking at. So you, you know, it will be a fair assumption to look at that and make a good guess. But from our perspective, I think it is going to take us maybe a couple more months to come out with more concrete exact numbers for capital deployment.
Sure. That's helpful. Thank you so much, Rakesh, Vishnu.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from Pranishta. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, Mr. Sanjay.
No, thank you. Thank you. Actually, most of the questions have been answered, so I don't have any question left. I do want to take this opportunity, since I'm on the line, to congratulate you. I don't think we have a better exponent of manufacturing excellence in the country than you. So all the best, but all my questions have been answered.
So nice of you. Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. So nice of you. Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Rajesh Vora from Genmay Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Rakeshji. Congrats on winning prestigious orders from some of the top market clients in the world, and also good numbers. You mentioned in your opening remarks that first quarter of next financial year, you're going to start the phase one of the expansion. So what percentage of 95,000 square meters of facility one will be ready in first quarter?
It doesn't come back like that, Mr. Rajesh. Thank you so much for your question. It doesn't go like that. It's every OEM has their own requirements, right? So we can't compare that with space occupancy. We have to compare with the capacity what we are trying to add in that space. That is, that could be an ideal thing to explain you, and it's too technical to give you the, you know, number of machines and all that. So you're also most welcome to visit Azad, so I can give you more detailed presentation on this.
No, I understand. I have already met you and visited your plant.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. No, what all of us are trying to understand, Mr. Rakeshji, is that there is a 10x capacity expansion being planned, which is there is a soaring order book, which is also very, very commendable. What we are trying to get our arms around is what percentage of that is going to be ready. Out of that 10x, is 1x going to be ready in first quarter 26 when you say we are going to start?
How do we scope that?
What guidance
we are giving, Mr. Rajesh, is, you know, the 25-30% guidance is to the market, and we have our internal targets are different, correct? So this is where we are trying to explain you that the growth rate what we are seeing for FY25 and FY26 onwards, the incremental, as you come nearer to FY25 and as we also see how progressive we can build this facility ASAP, that would be an ideal situation to give you exact, quarter-wise, how it's going to come and incremental things.
Sure. I understand that.
Yeah.
And wallet share target that you have set out for your company, 5% from each customer on an average basis, will that be achieved once you have the entire 10x capacity under your belt?
Every OEM has a different number. So when we say 1 to 3 to 5 to 10% is an average number.
Sure.
So
that target will be achieved once we have the 10x capacity?
Yeah, 10x is now. And then there is, as earlier also another gentleman asked on the first question, what the first Mr. Balkishna also asked, that phase one is 90,000, 95,000 square meters, and we have another 70,000 square meters facility ready. So if we finish this first, then we go move to that. So this 10x may become 12x, 14x, 15x, hopefully.
Sure. Okay.
So basis the requirements, where the wallet share as it increases, we are ready.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good. All the very best, Mr. Rakesh.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Partha from Eastern Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Bhattad.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on wonderful set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. You know, first one is, do we have, further scope of margin improvement from here onwards?
Of course. We all die for that, right? So we will not leave anything which is not, we'll not let it go nature waste. Either if you go to the customer or you come to us. Either of it.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Next is, on working capital, I missed out, whether our working capital days has been stretched or has been there kind of challenges on, procurement and raw materials?
Yeah. So this is the biggest problem of procurement of raw, because everything is there to import. And now what we're doing is, while we try to place an order for the raw material, all these we have to import major of it. You have to pay in advance, and then the manufacture, then the shipping time, then it comes in as inventory, then we start manufacturing. It takes quite a time to, churn out that. So we are now in, we are successful in developing few Indian mills here, and these Indian mills, it has just started right now, okay? And if you can see, very much taper off, and major of the qualifications are done now. So very soon we will get out of this. So this is a temporary issue. This working capital issue is a temporary issue. And very soon you will see a taper of the number of, the days which are coming up. So that way you will very soon see that this will come out of this problem very soon.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Thanks for that. And the last one, sir,
sir, we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up question.
It was just the last one. If you could, please.
Also, you can also return to the question queue for follow-up question.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mayur from Wealth Manager India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Mayur.
Yes. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Two questions. I could actually join the call a little late because of network issues, but then I hope if you can answer me again if this has already been asked. The point I was trying to understand was, we have the customer confirmations and orders in place. We are putting up the capacities in order to execute that. We have the product approvals and validations all done. So, sir, what is the risk? I am trying to listen to what is the risk in theoretically trying to ramp up 3x in 2 years? Why can't it be done?
I will answer you. I understood your question. I'll answer you. Right? Building, construction, people, money, everything is available. What about the equipment? Every equipment is all imported. The deliveries of these equipment are not handy. As, okay, construction-wise, some building takes 3 months. In the same building, if we add more resources, we can do it in, say, 2 months. Right? We can add more people. We can train more people. We can do all sort of things which we are in our control. But when we talk about these kind of equipments, what we need to manufacture these components are also majorly are imported. Right? This is where we sometimes have these long lead delivery items, which is not in our hand. And we cannot anticipate an order which will come after 6 months and place an order today on the equipment. We will only place an order once we have a contract in hand. Do you get my point, sir? So,
but sir, we already have 4,000 crore worth of orders, sir. Where is the...
We place equipment orders. They are just all coming in. That's the reason we are telling you, you will see an increment revenue from FY26. Correct. So you will see a shift from FY26 for sure. Because the capacity will be done, equipment will be in place.
Okay, got it, sir. And the other question was, normally when we see, what we have understood about airfoils and other parts which are there or the other which goes into the, it's critical in nature, it is important in nature. Why is it, and we say we are among the lowest cost, for some of, for most of our parts which are there. Why is it this advantage, which is for the customer, which is, it is low cost, it is critical in nature, we have the orders in hand. Why is that advantage not getting reflected in terms of our working capital cycle, which can be, much, much lower than what normally a critical manufacturer of suppliers would normally get the benefit of, sir?
Yeah, of course, you're right. Of course, you're right. So when you say qualification, this is a very continuous process. You keep qualifying, you keep your wallet share increasing, you keep your order book in an incremental phase, right? Today, if we capitalize our development cost or this, the qualification cost, our EBITDA is 3 to 4% higher, but we expense it out. We don't show that as, taking that consideration in our, we don't capitalize that amount. If we stop doing that, we cannot do that. We cannot stop it, right? We don't only stop at 4,000 crores. We are addressing a TAM, which is what product Azad is related to, is around 30 billion plus, right? This is just a start. Now, when you're trying to reflect things, we need to have this facility. First thing is foremost is this facility coming up. Second, the qualifications which you finish, is you can see in our working capital, which is, having higher number of days, because of the reasons which I am sure you must have heard before in the previous question, that the raw material, the qualification, as the minimum order quantity, you have to qualify 5 pieces. For that, you need to buy 500 castings. You have to import all that 500 casting which stays in inventory. Once you finish the qualification, then the inventory slowly starts getting reducing. That means the taper off is coming. Correct?
So that phase is just coming out of that phase.
We are just coming out of that phase. And from FY26, you see a beautiful story coming up.
So, sir, you think that, so just to understand it better, at 1,000 crore turnover, you believe that the working capital will it be meaningfully lower than the current working capital days?
Of course. We can't survive having such long working capital, right? It's not a thing, but this is a temporary phase, I'm telling you. Not me, anyone has to go through this.
Okay, because and this will start like seeing from FY26.
As you mentioned, we have best cost, we have good margin, we have good customer profile. That's why we are the only one in the country for certain product line. There's no one else.
So this will start seeing from FY26, is what you say? Yes.
Hard work is just done, sir. The hard work is just done. Now you will see, you will definitely witness. We all wish to do this, right? All these years we did this struggling. Now we are coming capacity addition.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Mehta. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, participants who wish to ask question may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Akshay from CD Integrated Service Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Hello, Akshay. Please, can you be a little louder?
Right, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah. Okay, if you can. Yeah, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on the great set of number. I just want to understand the thing. I was looking for the presentation and our total addressable market for FY27, even if we consider the 1% of that, then it would be around 25 to 2600 CR in all the three segments we are working. So, is it understanding right that if we can just grab the 1% share of total addressable market, we can do that revenue or turnover around FY27, FY28?
Of course, Akshay. That is the reason we are putting up 10x capacity, right? We know the addressable market. We are at desktop. We have all the qualifications and approvals are majorly done, right? So, it's only the capacity issue right now. So, that's what we are trying to say. If the capacity, should we get this factory ASAP up, that's the whole intention to, you know, take the wallet share, which is available and it's already started turning out. You can see these large contracts coming is nothing but our capacity increment, correct?
Okay, sir. Okay. And, sir, my second question is that we are, whatever the contracts or the agreements we are signing or we are getting, the value of all the things, let's say if a contract is for 5 years, then in 5 years it will get completed and all the revenue will be realized. Is my understanding right?
Of course. Of course. And this is not an end, right? This is just a start.
Okay, sir. Right, right, sir. Thank you so much, sir. And all the best for the future.
Thank you, Akshay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Partha from Eastern Financial Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks again for the opportunity. Sir, I have just one question with regards to this Mitsubishi order. I think it's a repeat order.
Yeah, it's an incremental, correct. It's just the capacity, yeah, the higher what we are doing.
Yeah, and sir, there are no competitors in India.
No. Okay. Now, a few, just to give you one more good thing, which we all should feel proud, is it's not just India. Few of their components, we are the only outside Japan in the whole world. There's no one else. Either it's manufactured in Japan or made in India.
Okay, that's great, sir. So, you know, before other step in, so, you know, were there any other companies which are actually doing it and Azad actually took over from?
Yeah, of course. See, this is where Azad competes. Azad competes China, Europe, Korea, Japan, and USA.
Okay.
Right? And the wallet share which is coming is from, of course, in the competition.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for actually continuation of very good set of numbers.
Thank you, Amit.
A few questions. The first one is on, you know, commercial aerospace. So we are seeing that things are now improving all the company, particularly after Boeing Skytrax got over, there is optimistic commentary from all the global majors. Now, just wanted to understand that whether we have anything on Anvil or LEAP engines, are we engaged in some of the parts or are we buying for that particular engine, which is basically, as you know, it is the fastest growing engine in the history of aviation.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Amit, see, definitely when we are in this industry of engines, for us, it doesn't matter if it's different or it's a military engine or a commercial airline engine, right? For us, it will not matter. The customer base is the same. Only thing is, we are not taking much orders because we want to get ready. We want to get ready because these are some master requirements. And you know, so that engine components, especially on the rotating components, it's not easy to start getting to that, but Azad has already put his foot in the door, right? So very soon you will listen a lot about these things.
Yeah, because the question was more in light of the fact that both GE Aerospace and Safran, who have of course collaboration, they are our clients. So, you know, I was just wondering that we should also have a foot in the door at least.
Yeah, we are GE Aviation, we are already approved supplier. Safran, we are already approved supplier. Also, we are already approved supplier. So that's not a problem. It's just we are getting ready to take that big chunk. As I told, the capacity is a major issue, right? So that is all talks are going on. And we can share more details once it comes to close up, when we are about to close deals with them.
Okay. The second one is on the order that we won earlier, that is on for Rolls-Royce. When we can expect the execution of this order to begin?
Yeah, the qualification is on, Mr. Ahmed. So as per the contract by the calendar year 25, we should be in the middle of the qualification. And as the qualification is done, then that's done with that, and the ramp up comes up from there.
Okay, so some of the earnings that we get incremental earnings in FY26, maybe.
So we also have a lot of hopes on FY26, which will open. Of course, it will at least give a kickstart. You know, at least it will give some small steps for the future years. Right, it will start taking baby steps from FY26. With what we are doing currently, it will add baby steps from FY26, and then we can leap and bound and crawl, walk and run.
Okay. The second one is on Saudi Arabia, interesting collaboration. Now, does it give us any preference that whatever Baker Hughes, you know, for our market, whatever it does, we will be getting the first opportunity in Saudi Arabia for Baker Hughes? Is it structured this way, or how does it work? And if it is possible, can you give the broad contours of the facility size that we are looking at?
It's an interesting question, Mr. Amit. I'll tell you, this is very massive. It's not something in, it's all in millions, you know, and it can convert into a lot. So when we met the Ministry of, the Energy, we met their clients, you know. Baker Hughes took us to their clients, which is Saudi Aramco and many more companies. And they presented us out there, okay, this is a company which will come and set up a shop. So it's their approval. Who has accepted that Baker Hughes got suppliers to put in a shop there because of the capabilities, right? And they have, it's not just Baker Hughes, it's in connection with the Ministry of Energy as well as their customers, where these products are going to use. Who's going to use these products, right? So they also need to give a consent. So they also approved us. Okay, Azad is the best fit, you can go ahead with that. So Baker Hughes has taken in principle approval from the ministry, in principle with their customers, and then put Azad there in the front. So it was not just one day story. We had gone, we have presented there, they had to really come to the, you know, we had to match, and we definitely matched all the requirements. And we were welcomed and we were very happy that they selected us.
Okay, so when can we expect, you know, the production or the setting up of this facility?
You know, this is at a very early stage. We just agreed. Now we are having discussions. They have sent us some package. We are evaluating. We are doing the code basis that we need to select the equipment, and we are also thinking to have a local partner there. You know, because the administration work and all that thing, we would like to take a local set up a JV with. Local partner there. We are talking to a few of the major companies there. We can have a JV with them and we can start this activity so that we focus on our business here and also give support to that JV. So we are making it a smart workout. We are trying to make sure that we don't put much investments, we don't put much things, and we keep measure of the things in our control, and things will go very smooth.
Okay, the last question from my end is that last time you mentioned in the call that, you know, Q2 FY25 would be better in terms of margins, and it indeed is. Now, is it interesting that despite slight lower QOQ share of, you know, aerospace, we still have margin improvement? Now, is it due to the order execution sequence or the impact of value addition pursuant to new acquisitions, or how should we read into this?
I'm sorry, Mr. Amit, I'm not really, can you please repeat the question here?
Yeah, so the question is that last time in the con call you mentioned that FY25 would be better in terms of margin, and, you know, margins have come out better, to be honest, in QOQ. Now, and this is despite, if I look at QOQ split between in the revenue, then energy contribution is higher compared to, aerospace, if I look on QOQ basis. Now, is the improvement in margin basically because of the orders we are executing, the nature of orders that might carry higher margins? Or is it that we have acquired, the two acquisitions that we have made? Is it the impact of these?
Yeah, Amit, this is a function of process improvement and the lower employee cost, because we are not adding employees and our sales are growing at 13% quarter-on-quarter basis. So this is a function of operating leverage and the process improvement what we have done. It is not because of the subsidiary what we have acquired.
Okay, so that is to follow that advantage?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Neo Asset Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. So, just want to understand that, from your commentary, if I can understand that, if a new entrant wants to enter into this business, it will not be very easy for, for that player to build up the kind of capacity which you have built up, and there will be lots of entry barriers. But at the same time, if when you are looking to increase your wallet share, among OEM, then effectively you will be grabbing, the market share from other suppliers based in China, Japan, U.S., and all. So what different will you be, providing, to these OEMs, and that they will be, encouraged to come to you and not to go to the, other suppliers who are also there in the business?
Yeah. Hello, Chirag. Actually, see, first thing in our business is first is to break entry barriers. First, you need to prove that you can manufacture these rotating components. When we now won a nuclear order, we are now making rotating components for the aircraft. And you can imagine the life it will compromise. You're not talking about some armrest or, you're not talking about some component which doesn't, is not really directly affecting a life critical component, correct? If in a seat, it's an armrest manufacturing, you go and get approval, having the CNC machines, you can manufacture armrest. But manufacturing a rotating component of an engine, you can imagine how much barriers are there to break to come to that level of the OEM accepting a rotating component manufactured in wherever the facility is and setting up and utilizing it, correct? So definitely it's not easy. First, the barriers are there to break, qualifications are there, and then comes the price level, right? Whoever has broken the barriers, they must be a great company, China or Japan or U.S. or Korea. They must have done it in their past whenever they have started 30, 40, 50 years ago. And Azad being a new entrant, so it's very, very evident that it's not easy just to put technology and we can get these orders, right? We have to break the barriers also. So in this regard, in this context, what we can tell you is the orders what we have is definitely we are competing the world. We have the best cost. I don't use the word low cost, I say it's the best cost and give a solution to the customers, right? And anything which a qualification takes for any OEM to approve any supplier is a cost to the customer also. So definitely, if the cost is not beneficial to them, they will not switch. It's a very tedious work, and it's a long journey to do the qualification. They have to spend so much money. Other than we invest money, they also invest a lot of money in qualification, right? For years. So that benefit, if you don't pass on, why will the order come to us? This is staying China or Japan, wherever they have done it already. So definitely there is a cost advantage as well. First, it's technical capability proved, and then comes the cost.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comment. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you everyone for your time and patience for coming in this call and asking good questions. I hope we could answer all the questions. If anything is there, please do write an email to us. We can answer all the questions basis the time constraints. And that's it from my side. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you from Azad's side. We're very happy to get on a call and address the questions that, anybody had, and it's always a pleasure to talk about our business and to get more clarity into the questions. And these are some very interesting set of questions, and I hope we've been able to bring some more clarity into how we are planning to ramp up our business anyway. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for taking the time for the call, and it was great session where you have asked a lot of insightful questions, and hope we are able to give you the color on that. Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.